In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. If I had to pick a favorite book out of the Bible, it would, in fact, be Paul's letter to the Romans. If I had to pick a favorite chapter out of that book, it would be chapter 8. Now, personally, I'm a huge fan of what comes later in 30 through whatever it is, where it says, "For I am convinced that neither life nor death nor angels nor da-da-da-da-da shall ever separate me from the love of God known in Jesus Christ our Lord." But this one is a close second. We were saved in hope. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope, because who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience. My brother committed suicide when he was 18 years old. That was 13 years ago this past March. It was not until well after that that they started the It Gets Better campaign, because there was a rash of people, kids being bullied and kids being put to the point where they felt their only out was to end their lives. The saying, "It gets better," was to tell them that it was not so hopeless, that life really is better, and that there really is more to life than ending the one life that you get on this earth. Now, I know full well in William's case, that probably wouldn't have done him any favors. He was a God-loving, a troubled soul. One might say he was my polar opposite, and right down to the way we looked. I'm a short, stocky, blonde-haired, fair-skinned girl, and he's was a tall, slim, dark-haired, darker-complected gentleman. He was more artistic than anybody ever should be, and I get by as far as the drawing and the painting and the crafting things. And he would see things. He would see art in things where people should not see art. He would see art in places where, I was like, where do you find that? But that was all cut short on March the 15th of 2005. It makes me wonder, though, thinking about William, and I really have gotten to the part now, 13 years later, where I can think about him and go through those days without absolutely breaking down and having to lock myself away. It makes me wonder, though, about the others. Are we not capable, as a society, of understanding the hope that is present for us in all things? And I think the answer there is no. We live in a sinful, broken, fallen world. It is what it is. But it comes back to the cross. It comes back to what happened that first, what we now call Holy Week. It goes back to the sacrifice made by God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, and says, this is not all there is to this world. This right now is not the be-all, end-all. This is not the end game. This is not the final destination. This is merely the passing through. If we see what we hope for, that isn't hope, because who hopes for what they already see? But if we hope for what we don't see, we wait for it with patience.
It says it's okay to dream. It says it's okay to dream of a world where we don't send men and women to die for us anymore. It says we can dream of a world where we don't have to worry about sending our kids to school because somebody's going to shoot it up. It means we can, honest to God, dream for a world, and that world will come someday, where we don't have to live in fear that somebody's going to come through that door and start some crap here at the church. It means that as the faithful people of this community, as the faithful people of this society, we need to be the ones that steel ourselves and say, okay, I can dream. I can have that dose of hope that we so desperately need. A creation that is moaning and groaning and subjected in frustration clearly is not new. Paul wrote about it to the Romans. Right there, I believe that the present suffering is nothing compared to the coming glory that is going to be revealed to us. This is not all that there is. This is not the end game. Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but in the hope that the creation itself will be set free from slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. This is not all that there is. This is not the end game. Slavery to decay. That's an interesting choice of phrase and choice of translation. It says slavery to decay. That's being stuck in systems that don't work. It's being stuck following along with something that just isn't working. The same old, you know, what's the definition of insanity? To do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Slavery to decay. If it's falling down, why are you a slave to it? Why are you working to hold it together? Try something different. My golly, have a bit of hope. Have a touch of hope. It's Trinity Sunday today. Interesting that it falls during Memorial Day weekend is what it is. It's how it lines up. But Trinity Sunday, where we recognize and we remember the relationship we have with the three persons of the one God. The three ways to relate with the same one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Don't like those words? Okay, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, God the Sustainer. We don't do it alone. And I think that's where we get into a problem as a society, is that we think we do it alone and we have to do it ourselves. I'm the proud adult daughter of a single mother who taught me you stand on your own feet, you don't depend on anybody for anything, and if you can't do it yourself, then you figure out how to. It's how we survived. The truth is, though, you don't do it by yourself. Mom didn't do it by herself, I don't do it by myself, and not a single one of us does. We are constantly, if we claim the faith of Jesus, if we claim the faith of God, if we claim to be Christians, then we also claim and fully get to enjoy the benefit that we are constantly in the presence of the Holy. When I say we carry that light inside of us, that's not a small thing for me. That's God. God rests in every single one of us while also concurrently, at the same time, revolving around us and blowing around us like the Holy Spirit does. That mighty rush of wind that came through that upper room last week. Constantly. God is. There's no follow-up to that. That's a full sentence. God is. Period. Now, you can add on to that. God is here. God is there. God is everywhere. That sounds like a children's song. But there's no stopping God, and there's no stopping how God moves in your life, and there's no stopping how God shows up. The key is to be able to understand it and recognize it when it happens. and to be thankful for those times when it does, and to be thankful for those people who help us get to those places and to see where the God light is shining in ourselves. We need a good dose of hope, folks. These are troubled times. There's a reason I don't watch the news except for the weather report. Wouldn't like to watch that either, but I'm terrified of thunderstorms, and I like to know when they're coming. You know, we need a good dose of hope. And it is up to us. I can get up here and preach until I'm blue in the face, which I don't turn that color. I turn red. We all know this by now. But I could preach until I'm changing colors up here, and it doesn't change if you don't take it out of here. If you don't go forth from this place with that little bit of hope shining in your heart and shining in your eyes and being on your tongue every time you talk to a neighbor, then my words are for naught. The words we read in Scripture are for naught. Why are we bothering? You have to go out. You have to be the one that holds onto the hope. And I get it. I honest to God get it when you're living in that part of your life and you're in that shadowy place where you're walking through the valley of the shadow of darkness that the psalmist talked about. I understand how hard it is to hold on to hope. I understand how hard it is to be the sharer of hope when you don't have any yourself. I get it. I've been there. But that's where we have to take care of our neighbors. And if you see somebody sitting next to you in a pew who's struggling, and you see somebody who's having a hard time holding on to their hope, and you have a hard time, and their light's starting to flicker on their candle, and they need a new wick, or for that matter, more oil put in the candles, give them some of yours. Because it's not yours anyway, it's God's. And God didn't give it to us to hoard, He gave it to us to share. We need a dose of hope. It's why it's important that we spend time out in our community, and when somebody says, hey, I recognize you from the food pantry, I said, yes, I do, and I'm a member of such and such, or I'm the pastor of so and so, and there it is. Hey, did you know God loves you too? God loved you first? God loves you always? Even when you think you've messed up so bad that nobody could ever forgive you? How much better off would some of the people be if they heard that? How much stronger would the parents be in this world if they had a little dose of, go get them, hope, I've got your corner, I've got your back, and I'm praying for you? How much better off would each of us be if we had somebody physical, because I know God always does it, but physically right next to you saying, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. This is not how it ends. This is not the final destination. This is merely a stopping point where we really do get the chance to do the best we can to be the beacons of God's light in this world. I don't know, you guys. I need a dose of hope. And I don't know where this world's going to get it if not for us. If not for our brothers and sisters at the other churches in this town and across this county and in this state and in this country. It's up to us. It's up to us to be the ones that stand up and say, hey, listen, we need to do better. We need to be better. We need to stop and go back and reclaim. Listen, this is what we believe. This is the promises made for us. And it's not just in our land, it's in our world. We have a world full of hurting, hopeless people. We have a world full of people who need a dose of hope. And while I know I've preached the last few weeks about focusing here, and so if you can focus on the person next to you, the devil can't get at you so much because you can't solve the world problems. But I echo that again, that if you touch one person, and that person touches one person, and you touch five people, and each one of those five people touches five people with that message of hope, it's not going to take long before it spreads. And you can invoke the name and call of Jesus Christ and the message of God and the promises of God without ever mentioning his name. Because I'd hate for you to get arrested for proselytizing. That would be terrible. But a good old dose of hope. A good old dose of, hey, you're not walking this way alone. Hey, you're not doing this by yourself. Hey, we can do better, and there is better coming. Dream for those things that you cannot see. Hope for those things that are not visible yet, because we don't hope for what we see in front of us. That's already here. We hope for that which is to come. Amen.